Matthew chapter 7, you probably know this, it is the final chapter in a section of this gospel that's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are among the most familiar words, not only in Scripture, but in all of literature. What's in the Sermon on the Mount? Well, just do unto others, judge not, that you be not judged, you're the salt of the earth. A city set on a hill, by their fruit you shall know them. No man can serve two masters. Turn the other cheek. Our Father who art in heaven, consider the lilies. The wise man built his house on a rock. Blessed are the poor in spirit. A wolf in sheep's clothes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Go the extra mile. Ye are the light of the world. Love your enemies. Give us this day our daily bread. If thy right eye offend thee, cast the beam out of thine own eye. Ask and it shall be given. Let your light so shine. And we can go on. In fact, philosophers and writers and politicians throughout history have loved these words, and many of them have worked and labored and written their entire lives hoping that they themselves might be remembered for just one line, just one quote or one truism after they die. And yet here you have one sermon. And in this one sermon, our Lord spoke dozens and dozens of truths and promises that today and all through the world permeate literature. It permeates literature and speeches and idioms far beyond just a sort of religious context. What Jesus taught on that mountain that day has been co-opted, still is, but throughout all of history by playwrights and novelists, by screenwriters, by poets, philosophers, legal scholars, professors, journalists, musicians, psychologists, historians, even generals, sculptors, artists. They have all taken the words of this sermon, some of which we just mentioned, and the admonitions of Jesus, and used them for their own purposes. Leo Tolstoy took the words resist not evil in chapter 5 and he built an entire political social philosophy on it. The whole world loves to quote the Sermon on the Mount. So, how is it then that when Jesus comes to the end of the Sermon on the Mount and basically summarizes everything that he has been preaching, why is it that these words aren't found in pop music or political speeches, or in UN declarations? In fact, why is it that these words, the words of this eternal truth, universally are rejected by the world? And especially so in current American, West, European society. Which ones, Pastor? These, verse 13. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, folks, you do realize why this simple truth and reality is never found on a public school motto or on the wall of a library or in a pretty Pinterest needlepoint. You know why this truth isn't sung by James Taylor or Taylor Swift. I can tell you why. It's because this is binary. Jesus does not say, find the road that fits you. Jesus is an offering fluidity, shades, personalized pathways. No, it's just either or. And while it is true that life does have multitudes of acceptable nuances and choices, eternity does not. Truth is fixed. You know, with a lot of things, that's universally recognized in society. A person is either dead or alive. That's binary. You're either dead or you're alive. You don't walk into a cemetery and you say, see that guy buried there? He's dead. See that guy over there? He's really dead. There's no such thing as being a little pregnant. Your pregnancy test strip comes back with two options, not five. A defendant is either guilty or not guilty. You take the bar exam, pass or fail. That door right there is either open or closed. The light, it's either on or off. The Super Bowl, you either win or you lose. There's no tie. You ask a nurse, you either have a heartbeat or you don't. And life is full of this. Life is absolutely full of binary realities. You know, every text that you see on your phone, every video, every photo, every post is ultimately built upon a common stream of zeros, a continuous stream of zeros and ones. The entire digital world runs on a binary code, and nobody cares. Nobody's offended. Nobody loses their mind because a diploma doesn't say almost graduated. In all of society, binary is perfectly acceptable until you come to this, the words of Jesus and the Word of God. Now again, before we pray, yes, life is full of complexities and layers and spectrums. You know what? It's fine that there's not just Pepsi or Coke. There's also Dr. Pepper and Sprite and Mountain Dew and 7-Up. Choose your poison, all kinds. There's 40 brands of water, for crying out loud.
Hallelujah.
That's no big deal, right? Nobody cares. Life is full of choices. But when it comes to eternity, the same Jesus, the same Lord Jesus Christ who spoke all of those previous unforgettable and beloved and often quote words, the same Lord of glory declares definitively and categorically, there's only two roads, just two. You are either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either on this road or you're on the other road. Only two. And here's the thing, inasmuch as Jesus came down from eternity, the eternal God, he then, as you know, returned to glory and is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. And then, as it shows in verse 21, he's going to come back to judge in eternal glory. When it comes to these two roads, when it comes to this binary distinction, the wide or the narrow road, Jesus ought to know. He doesn't make it up. He shows that he's the only one who knows that there are two roads and they lead to two different destinations. I know this. I know that God wants to speak to your heart this morning. I hope you open it up. Father, thank you for your word. Please do speak to us, Lord, all of us, saved, unsaved, those who are traveling on the road to sanctification and maybe are hurting or discouraged. I pray you'll speak to every heart and you'll quiet us, Lord, so that we can hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Three things this morning I want us to consider from this very familiar, as Andy mentioned a moment ago, very powerful text in the Word of God. And by the way, what Jesus says here about this narrow road, it's not just found here in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus also preached this same truth in the Sermon on the Plain much later in his ministry in the Gospel of Luke. What are the three truths? Number one, there's the attraction of the wide road. Let me say it again. Number one, there is the attraction of the wide road. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. That means narrow. Why? For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And here's the word you'll notice, many. Many there be which go in thereat. Can I ask you a question? Why do you suppose that there are so many? The multitudes. Why are there so many who will travel this wide road? And why is this road the one that's so popular and therefore so populated? Well, one reason is because it's not binary. It doesn't narrow your choices at all. It widens them. How many ways to heaven, the broad road says? How many can man invent? Come onto this road. People say there's so many religions. No, there's only two. There's really only two. And the broad road says, hey, invent your own, come on this road, and all will be well. It is so big and so broad that you can drift around on this road. You can change your opinion. You can go back to this one and back to that one, and you're still going to be just fine. It's so accommodating, in fact. Then you can actually talk about your truth. It's my truth. Your own reality. So no wonder it's attractive. It doesn't confront you. It complements you. Yes, the wide road is crowded precisely because it's so comfortable. So that, you know, you have your own homegrown sort of personal opinion and appetite or preference or version of the truth. Bring it in, they say. Bring your own ideas and your own thoughts. It's all valid on the broad and attractive road. And folks, just look how the devil has always marketed this road with really pretty signs that say things like, follow your heart. Things like, trust your feelings. Live your truth. Define your own reality. Create your own path. Write your own story. Break free from labels. Energy doesn't lie. The hero within, it goes on. Most of the songs are about that kind of thing. It's just so empowering, you know, to make your own self the expert and the authority on life and truth and eternity. And if by chance on this wide road you hear the rushing sound, crashing water up ahead, and some Baptist yells out that the bridge is out and there's a cliff up ahead, you tell them, negativity isn't welcome on my journey. Just keep whistling. In fact, turn up the radio a little louder and just say gravity is that's a social construct. And you can just happily go down that broad road. That giant cliff is only true for that guy over there, only true for him, but not for me. This is the beauty of the wide road. It never will ask you to consider where it's headed or where it truly ends. Which brings us to the second thing in the text. Number one, there's the attraction of the wide road. Number two, you'll notice there's the restriction of the narrow road. Notice instead of the word many, you have the word few, verse 14. Because straight, that means narrow, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, not destruction, life, and few there be that find it. Now, wait a minute. Why a few? Understand, beloved, this is not accidental language our Lord Jesus is using here. Jesus is stating what heaven knows to be true. People do not refuse the narrow road because they can't get on it, but rather because they don't want to get on it. This is why all through Scripture, all through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks in terms of twos. Almost constantly. And in the speaking of twos, it's the idea of choosing, making your choice. There's two roads. There's two houses built on two different foundations. There's two trees. There's two gates and two masters. Elsewhere, it's two kinds of prophets. Two sons, two debtors, two men in the field, two servants. Constantly? Now again, many times in the Bible, God shows us diversity, yes, and complexity and variety all through God's creation. The fruits of the Spirit, far more than two. Spiritual gifts, there's at least 18. The body of Christ, so many different members who are so different one from another. Sanctification and growth, where the Christian life is quite literally a journey with different peaks and plateaus, that's wonderful. There are all kinds of texture, all kinds of beautiful tapestry and shades in the people and in the work of God. But whenever it comes to eternity, hear this, when it comes to truth and revelation, the Lord Jesus is perfectly decisive. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The road to glory is no democracy. It is narrow, beloved, precisely because it is the only one. Verse 14, what does Jesus say? Straight, narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Pastor, I reject that. I reject gate culture. You do? Do you reject it at the airport? You're wanting to fly to California, and you walk to this to the one gate that goes to the one plane that matches your ticket. So do you get up there, and you get up there with your three emotional support llamas or whatever, and you go to the gate, and you demand another gate? Do you say, it doesn't matter which gate I get on so long as I'm sincere? Are you going to get to California? I don't like that gate. There should be multiple entrances to that airplane. I'm looking for the gate that's best for me. Really? Can I ask you a question? How many of you have a smartphone, and with your smartphone, you have a passcode? I do. You do too. Mine is 0000 if you ever want to get in there and read anything. Do you realize how restrictive your passcode is? What's the only way in? It doesn't respect my emotional diversity. It literally locks me out just because today I feel like using a more creative access point. Why does my iPhone have to be so rigid and so intolerant? Literally Hitler. You say, Pastor, that's kind of dumb. So it's okay to have a very narrow gate to your smartphone, but access to eternal glory, access to the very holy throne of God, that's just any numbers you feel like punching in on the screen anytime? Or how about no number? Or how about anybody's face will unlock it? Anybody's ID? Do you suppose if heaven's entrance had face recognition, and the Apostle John walks up, bleep, and Peter, bleep, come on in. The gate opens. But then Ted Bundy and Jeff Epstein walk up, bleep, come on in. That it doesn't matter. That anybody, come on in. All are welcome, Joseph Stalin. God's not restrictive. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. Is that how heaven is going to be for all of eternity? That's how the flesh thinks. And let me say it again. That is what the world preaches. Everyone will have access into heaven. Everyone is granted entrance. Everyone shall enter Jesus' kingdom because that's what my rabbi says. That's what my priest says. That's what my professor says. That's what Oprah said for all those years. Guess what Jesus says? Verse 21. What's the first three words? Not everyone. It doesn't matter what I say. What Jesus says is right there, verse 21, not everyone. Verse 22, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord. He says, I never knew you. That's verse 20. I never knew you. You see, folks, the gate is narrow because we cannot fit our pride through it. We said, number one, there's the attraction of the wide road. Number two, there's the restriction of the narrow road. Number three, and most importantly, I want you to notice the destination of each road. Verse 13, enter ye the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to, here's the word, destruction. That broad road isn't leading just where you want it to lead. It ultimately and always will lead to eternal destruction. The next verse, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto what? Life. There's a big difference between eternal destruction and eternal life. Now, folks, I want you to think about this amazing image that Jesus is actually presenting here. On the one hand, you have this false way, right? Now, picture this. It is wide. is busy because it is very, very popular. And the gate is as wide and broad as the road itself. And yet, when you go through it, instantly, that wide thing closes. It's death. It is darkness. That broad thing goes right down to the most narrow thing of all. This wide road, this wide gate, turns instantly into bondage. Instantly collapse. The broad road shrinks at the moment you go through the gate. However long you live, the moment you go through that gate, it goes into complete darkness. But then this narrow road. This narrow road where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm no man. This narrow road and this narrow gate, suddenly when you go through that, it just opens up. And when you go through it, it is vast, it is eternal, it is glory, it is freedom, it is light. My mom is listening by live stream right now, pretty sure. And I'm going to give her a very vivid memory of us living in Turkey and taking a family trip many years ago. And I'll tell you, of all the things that I remember in our years of living in Turkey, this is the one I remember the most. Southwest of Adana, where we lived all those years, about an hour and a half drive to the Mediterranean coast, there are two natural formations in the earth that are known tourist spots. One is called Cenefa, Cenefa in Turkish, and the other is called Jehennem. One means heaven, and the other one means hell. And even though I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years of age, I'll never forget my experience there. My brother as well. There's these two massive, basically, sinkholes in the earth, and written in the rock, and the one that they called heaven had a staircase. And you would start to walk on this thing, and you would take it sort of downward, much like the Grand Canyon. And it was narrow, and then when you got into it, it opens up. And it opens up into this majestic, massive chamber. It was huge. It even has an ancient Byzantine cathedral carved in one spot over here into the rock. The narrow strait led to the widest glory. But then, just right here, 100 meters away, you can actually see it. You can see it from the heaven one. And when you go over there this time, it's massive. It is this huge, giant hole that suddenly, as you walk, it gets narrower. It gets much steeper, and as you walk, it turns into this sort of dark, vertical shaft. And you look down, and it's terrifying. And you drop a rock in the darkness, and you never hear it land. As a boy, not yet saved, I remember looking at those things and thinking to myself, man, these places are so close to each other. But they're so different. There's two complete destinations because there's two complete paths. For a good while now, I've been thinking about this picture of the narrow opening up into life and freedom and glory and space. The narrow, I'm on the narrow road by God's grace, the narrow opening up into eternal life, and it's occurred to me. It's occurred to me, beloved, that this is precisely what our Lord Jesus has done for us. You think about it. The Son of God willingly left the widest majesty imaginable, the endless expanse of God's universe and heaven. And he came down, the Bible says, from the radiance of that unapproachable light, surrounded in this vast heaven by innumerable angels. Jesus entered the darkest, narrowest place possible. The Son of God, the God of glory, the Lord Jesus compressed himself into the smallness of a womb. infinity collapsed. And the one who filled all things, as the Bible says, chose to be contained. You remember Lucy Shaw's famous poem about the incarnation, Jesus in the womb? She said, "Quiet he lies, whose vigor hurled the universe. He sleeps, whose eyelids have never closed before. His breath, so slight, it seems no breath at all. The breath once ruffled the dark deeps to sprout a world. Breath, mouth, ears, eyes, he is curtailed. He is curtailed who overflowed all skies and all years." In other words, the infinite God willingly came down and narrowed himself in the womb, on the cross, in the tomb. The Lord came down to the very narrowest so that at the resurrection, by paying that price, he would open up the vast glory of all of eternity to all of us who were headed on the broad road to destruction. You see, folks, Jesus and Jesus alone has the right to say what he says about two roads and two destinations. Have you ever thought about the first line of verse 22? Many will say to me, wait, think about that. Me? Jesus said, many will say to me. Why him? Why at the judgment is everybody going to answer to Jesus? Because he's the narrow gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. He is the only one who became narrow so that we might have life. When you go home today, you can be pretty sure that every news station that's live will be talking about yesterday's attack on Iran. Shortly after I became pastor here in 1987, in October, in fact, October 14th, 1987, every news station was on the same story. The one single same story as well. For 58 straight hours, some of you will remember this, it was in the same story about a little girl in Midland, Texas, Jessica McClure. Baby Jessica fell down an 8-inch wide abandoned well in her aunt's backyard. She fell 22 feet head first and was trapped upside down in total darkness. And so there was this massive televised rescue effort, and it was on TV 24/7. They had to dig a parallel shaft all the way down and then a little horizontal one in order to reach her. And while all of us watched, she was rescued just in time. Jessica's 40 today. She lives in Midland with her husband, two children, grandchild. She's a believer, rescued twice. Amen. Thankfully, she has no memory of that entire experience. I mean, you talk about claustrophobic, you talk about tight spot, I can't even imagine. And thankfully, again, she doesn't remember it. Can I tell you something? Our Lord does. I can't imagine being confined upside down an 8-inch pipe, 22 feet down, total darkness. That's a narrowness that's unimaginable, but the Lord Jesus condescended to a far greater tightness and darkness and constriction and loneliness. Not just in the womb, and not just in the tomb. That cross was a device of suffocation and entrapment and thirst and abandonment. He literally breathed his last breath and gave up the spirit, held to that spot. But then, up from the grave he arose. In John 19, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. But in the very next chapter, in John 20, verse 22, Jesus, he breathed on his disciples and opened up the entire universe of his creation. You see, folks, the road may be narrow. The gate may be narrow. But the destination is as wide as the love and the glory of God himself. That broad road, so full of options and religion and good works and self-approval. That road that dazzles leads to a place of confinement and destruction forever. It leads to eternal separation. And it is why on this Lord's Day morning, if you're a Christian today, you should never, ever be ashamed of the narrowness of the King's Highway. They'll call me narrow-minded. Okay. They called your Lord far worse. You should never feel marginalized on this narrow path. You should, however, be filled with gratitude, with humility, with confidence and resolve, and always on this narrow road, appealing to others to join you, appealing to the power of the gospel, which Paul said, I am not ashamed of. If you're here today and you're still on the broad road, and I'll say it again, people say, so many religions, how do you know which one? There's not so many, there's two. There's actually one. One's religion, the other's relationship. Jesus said, there are only two. This broad road, take all of them. Any ism, any religion in the world, if it's trying to get to heaven by your ideas, your thoughts, and your good works, you're on the broad road to destruction. The narrow road is the road of grace, of faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Today, the Lord Jesus, in His Word, sets before you those roads. Choose. You're going to stay in the broad road to destruction, or get on the narrow road to life everlasting. If you get to that gate, it's going to open up one day into eternal glory. And God's people said, our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed. We prayed earlier this morning that everybody has a need, and God knows that need, and that's certainly true at this very moment. You know, it's interesting. The world wants you to be embarrassed and ashamed of the greatest thing that you have if you're saved. Salvation by grace through faith alone. Jesus, the only Savior for man. Why would we ever be ashamed of the greatest thing, the most glorious thing that we have? Pastor Blalock, I'm a believer by God's grace this morning. I'm saved. If I were to die today, I'd be in heaven by His mercy. But as a Christian, there's something in the Sermon on the Mount, there's something in Jesus' truth about the two roads that I needed to be reminded of, that I needed to hear. And as a believer, God is speaking to my heart about that. As a testimony to that, I raise my hand with heads bowed. Who would say that through the building? And God bless you. Praise the Lord. I raise mine. Amen. There are some in this room, without question, in a group this size and watching by live stream. You are still convinced. You have allowed the marketing of Satan to convince you, or your own pride or whatever, that you can walk your way and believe your things and travel your path, and somehow God will be obligated to accept it. I appeal to you this morning that you are a lost sinner, just as we all were, and that you will have nothing in your hand to offer the holy God that will grant you a moment in the vast wideness of eternity and glory. The only way you get there is through Jesus. He is the narrow gate. So if you're here today, and you might be on that broad road, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now and saying, you need to be saved, you're lost. See, Pastor Blair, like, I think that's me. I think I'm being convicted in my heart to be saved. Could we pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. At home, watching by live stream, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Raise your hand really high. God bless you. Someone else, hold it up. Others, yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? Right here. I'm not sure that I'm saved today, but I want to be sure. Hold it up high. Yes, dear brother. All right. We're going to pray in a moment, have a time of invitation. Listen, if God is speaking to your heart, obey His voice, won't you? As Christians, we should walk out of these doors with so much gratitude and boldness, so much confidence in Christ, so utterly unashamed of the gospel that people outside these doors notice the difference. That when they scorn you or laugh, it just rolls off of you. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. And the narrow road and the narrow gate is what Jesus said will bring eternal glory. If you're not sure you're saved, some of you raise your hand even. Brother Andy's right here at the front. During this invitation time, people will come forward perhaps. Join them or come by yourself and tell Brother Andy, please pray with me. Show me from the Bible how to be saved. Father, bless the invitation. Lord, we thank you for your word and how many times it must grieve you when you hear those who do not believe in the narrow gate, that you're the only way to heaven. And then they quote your words over and over again, dozens, scores of them, for their own purposes. Help us to see, Father. And help us to embrace, Lord Jesus, the truth that you came down to give us a path to the vast eternal glory of heaven. And so for these who have asked a prayer, draw them to you as your people. For those who also said, Lord, who also said, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Lord, please speak to them. Continue to. In Jesus' name, amen.